thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse. But
can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And this thing is on. It's on from the floor of the Consumer Electronics Show here in Las Vegas. Yes, it's Toyland, and you can bet your bottom dollar we came up here to check it out and have fun and report back to all of you that are so kind to have joined us. Welcome.
There's toys everywhere here.
It's ridiculous.
Ken Colburn, Brandon Disney, Clayton Moline here to report to you.
And out running around on the floor somewhere is Ron Belinsky, who's sort of our eyes and ears while we're doing this show for the next 2 hours. If there's things that we need to pull people in for, he's out there to do that. If there's things that you're interested in, things that you saw part of our Facebook posts, we'll talk about where you can find those things that you want more information on. We're your eyes and ears, and Ron's ours, here at CES in Las Vegas.
And we've kind of crammed as much technology into this little booth as we can while we do this broadcast, right?
We've also going to be streaming from Ustream here in a little bit, and we'll be giving you
We're going to give you links to all these
shortly.
Things.
Yeah, post it up on the Facebook page. If you haven't been following us on Facebook, that's what are you waiting for? That's where we've been kind of posting up pictures. We've got lots of video that we haven't been able to upload yet. For various reasons, including the fact that a lot of it's on really high-definition video. So suffice it to say that we will continue to post and edit and provide you lots and lots of examples. Try to give you as much of that the feel of being here with us as we can possibly bring to the show. But for the time being, while you're listening to the show, if you're near a computer, you got a handheld, facebook.com/datadoctors. You can see a lot of the pictures we've already posted up there, little comments that are up there. And it's fun.
Yeah. And so walking around the show, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk about all the things that are here and how we're being bombarded with 3D everywhere.
Yes.
And it's 3D everywhere you look and everywhere you turn. But more consistent than that, the thing that we run into time and time again is the lack of ability to make calls, receive texts, connect data-wise. I mean, it is amazing how... It's not just in the convention center. You'd think, okay, all the steel, all the concrete, I get that, right? No, you can walk out the door. There's just so many people all trying to use their technology that I'm sure the system is just completely overloaded. And it's not just the network we complain about a lot. One of the guys here has the big V, and he couldn't connect either. I mean, it's everybody. It's amazing that how much everything can be saturated by one show, one convention
hey,
like this.
That's a small hurdle. That's not going to keep us from getting this information to you. So we appreciate you joining us. As Brandon said, if you're going to call in, we want to kind of keep this to a CES-specific show. So if you've got a typical computer question you're trying to have us solve, not today. We're going to just talk about technology. We've got guests lined up for the next couple of hours here to come in and tell us about some of the new products that are out there. 3D, no question, is, I'd have to say, one of the biggest themes, would you not say?
Well, tell me about it.
I think
it's all over.
There's like, would you like a cup of 3D coffee or regular coffee?
Yeah, do I need glasses for the 3D coffee? Because yeah. I don't think I'm ready for that.
Cameras, satellite receivers, obviously the flat panels.
Miniaturizing everything. So whatever technology already exists, if we can make it smaller, squish it into a smaller space, put the word E in front of it or I in front of it, that's what exists here.
Well, and how many years have we been coming to the show to tell everybody, okay, everything is going to do everything. Everything's going to have a camera. Everything's going to have an internet connection. And for the first time,
we're there.
Virtually everything, television sets.
Your television set, you can browse the internet. You can chat. You can send messages, right? Your phone, you can watch TV. And you can sometimes make calls. Everything is truly... turning into everything.
Yeah, it becomes, what can your phone do that your computer can do? Or what can't your phone do that the computer can do? Not much.
But it becomes, there's one device that's specialized, right? So your TV is mostly for watching TV, but also now you can surf the internet and chat and video conference. And well, your phone's mostly for making calls, but you can also watch TV. And it's It's just crazy.
Yeah, it has a primary function, but the lines are starting to blur. So whatever it is that you're interested in knowing about what we might have seen, we've seen so much that I'm not even sure in 2 hours we can really unload all of this information that we've got crammed in our heads.
It's ridiculous.
Visual. This is why we took a lot of pictures and lots of video, so we'll be continuing on with that. HDMI, for those of you that are not familiar with the acronym, that basically, it's not an acronym, but basically that stands for a very high-definition transmission process. It's a big, thick cable that you got to have to be able to get a high-definition signal from a source to your display. HDMI is a kind of a pain because the cable's so big,
right?
Right? Wouldn't it be great if you didn't have to have that big, thick cable going to the back of the TV?
Right, because that TV's on the wall, right? It's not so easy to get that cable fished through the wall, or you have it sitting on top of the wall, and it sort of defeats the whole purpose of hanging the TV, right?
And your Blu-ray is you know, 10, 12 feet away because you got to snake the thing through. So wouldn't it be great if you didn't have to use that big, thick cable to get from your HDMI source, your high-definition source, to that display? Well,
today it's reality.
Well, there's been third-party companies that have had this, but just about every one of the newer flat-panel televisions are coming with that capability built in so that they don't have to have these cables. So the wireless, we were talking about this before.
We've determined wireless does not mean without wires.
No. It just means less wires.
Less wires, because right? You still have to plug the thing into power, right?
It sounds goofy if you call it less wires, so it's wireless, in our vernacular at least.
Sure.
The other thing is Monster had HDMI through your electrical system.
Now, we're not talking about Monster the energy drink. We're talking about the
Monster
guys who
cable.
Make those really expensive cables, right?
Monster Cable had the big display, and they were showing almost like the old networking through your
power line,
right?
Right. You plug it into the wall. And this thing comes out of the wall from the regular, you know, place you plug power into, and it turns into an HDMI cable. And they were showing not only could you not have the Blu-ray player hooked directly up, you could have it, you know, 20 feet away, but you could also have that Blu-ray player playing to 3 or 4 TVs throughout the house, one player, multiple televisions. Kind of cool.
Crazy, crazy. Slingbox got into the wireless video, high-definition video, right?
So yeah.
Those of you not familiar with the Slingbox, is a device that basically allows you to access your DVR, your TiVo, from any internet-connected terminal, right? So, and it's initial iterations. A lot of people are saying, well, if I'm on the road and I want to watch what's on my DVR, I can just pop my laptop on and go. Well,
right.
Now they're extending this to wireless high-definition panels, right? So you just have this panel anywhere, a little handheld video device, high definition, wireless, and you can pull up whatever it is that's on your Slingbox. Actually, what's on your DVR through the Slingbox system. Crazy.
Yeah, no, it's amazing stuff. And right now, I just posted a link on our Data Doctors Facebook page, facebook.com/datadoctors, and you can see us live streaming from Ustream. There's a link right on there. You can click on it and watch exactly what we're doing while we're doing the show.
For those with absolutely no life, right?
Right.
Get online and see.
Now, besides all this practical stuff, this cool stuff, there's also a lot of what we'll call wacky, wild, and weird stuff.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure we'll find time to talk about some of the highlights from that as well.
Oh, yes.
We've got, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we've got some lines open, but we're trying to sort of keep things on topic today because we're here and it happens once a year. If there's things that we've talked about that pique your interest, things you want to know more about, then we'll take those calls, things you're thinking about purchasing, things you've seen from our Facebook page. Any of those calls, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. If it's your regular, I can't boot, I'm getting this weird error message, whatever, you know what, we've got all the other 51 weeks out of the year that we're happy to help with those things. So so next week, save those, and we'll help you then, I promose.
That does sound like a plan.
Does sound like a plan. What also sounds like a plan is for us to get a little more caffeinated.
Yes.
Which
yes.
means we'll take a quick time out here. When we come back, more from CES 2010 in Las...
2010 or 2010.
I think it's 2010.
I like 2010 better.
Whatever it is. It's live in Las Vegas. It's the Data Doctors.
We've been arguing about this for a while.
We're going to be back right after.
And it's the Computer Corner, broadcasting live from the floor of the Consumer Electronics Show in wonderful downtown Las Vegas.
Is it downtown Las Vegas?
It is downtown. Well, okay, maybe it's uptown.
Yeah, strip town.
It's not the old. It's not the old downtown.
Midtown.
Oh, yeah.
Side town. Sideshow. I don't know.
Convention center. Really amazing stuff. And you know what was really, for those of you wondering how CES was as a barometer for the economy.
Yeah.
The difference between this year and last year.
Huge difference.
Huge difference.
And an uptick as far as number of people. This is obviously unofficial. We don't have any numbers. Just being here, and we've been here a number of years. Being here, everything from waiting in a really long line to get our badges and press credentials and that kind of stuff, which last year there was really no wait. You walk right in,
well, last year
thing.
We could shoot video in the aisles and not have to worry about anybody. It was ghost town.
Yeah, by Saturday it was.
And there were lots and lots of people where there was no booth, that there should have been a booth. So it was really pretty amazing there. But how about that smoker? Not one, but two, maybe three. I don't know how many providers of these
electronic
fake cigarettes and cigars.
So they look like the device that you hold is like a battery-powered thing. It looks like either a cigar, cigarette, or a pipe, right? It even, when somebody would take a drag, so to speak, on
right.
this thing, right, it would even, the end would glow, and it's just like a little LED light inside of something making it sort of glow, right? And then they exhale what looks like smoke. Now, it's what they're smoking, quote-unquote, is water vapor. No nicotine, no smoke, no... It's apparently a way to sort
help
of
you wean you off, yeah.
Yeah, and it's if the motion, the feel, the
well,
whole.
A lot of it is the, you know, the hand to mouth, the, you know, and that type of
the oral, yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's just one of the weird, wacky things that, you know what, from a practical standpoint, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it makes it. Maybe it doesn't.
We saw a booth that had software that was designed for seniors specifically that were encountering or early stages of dementia, Alzheimer's, that kind of thing. And it was software designed to exercise parts of the brain that contribute to that to help stave off some of those kind of conditions and problems. And
right.
So there's all kinds of interesting things there.
Which basically you had to go to a clinic before. Now you can actually get a program on your home computer and run it, you know, as opposed to doing that. Later on the show, we're going to talk about the plethora of in-car technology.
Wow.
That
we've
convergence
seen quite a bit of that.
Of all the technology that's going on that we kind of take for granted in the rest of our lives. We're definitely seeing that creeping into the car more and more. We're going to talk in more detail about what we saw on that and what you can expect to be in your car in the coming years.
Not just full PCs, which is sort of where people, I think that's where things are going. And that doesn't really practically make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But extending what your car can do and what it's doing to other things. And so being able to interact with your mobile device, as an example. And we'll talk about specifically what that means, because that doesn't make... Right now you're thinking, what do I care?
Yeah.
You'll see.
Yeah.
There's some things that are pretty cool.
Okay, but right now we have to have the annual award to the manufacturer that had the biggest display.
The biggest display.
We have an annual award now?
Well, it is for us.
Okay.
Would it
be
it's the first
annual award.
Is it that Intel display when you walk in?
No.
Samsung?
Single panel. The Panasonic 152-inch plasma screen.
This is not a projected image. This is a screen, a plasma screen, like you know, LCD plasma, the kind of thing you have in your house right now. Only this thing is 152 inches.
And to put that in perspective, last year at CES, the largest one we found was 108 inches, I believe. So
something of that nature.
Yeah,
it was. And it's diagonal,
it's diagonal
too, right?
Right.
So it's exponentially.
It was in kind of an odd format. So the old school TVs were in what they called a 4:3 or 4:3 ratio, right? And the new TVs are 16:9 or 16:9.
So they're wider than they are tall.
This was 17:9.
You know what it was? I think somebody kind of made different. A math error during the engineering process.
No, it was on purpose. Because they made a big deal out of showing it, and it was some kind of weird standard. And I mean, it's not a practical TV anyway, so, you know, let's be honest with each other. It being odd, it's just part of the game here at CES.
Well, and the computer processing power that's going to be in every television that you purchase from this point forward, as long as you're buying any of the newest technology. We're going to talk more later on in the show about what that processor is going to allow you to do sitting on your couch. that you can't do right now.
It's part of that convergence thing we were talking about, and these things have as much power as notebook computers a year or two ago. So there's lots of that, lots more here. Broadcasting live, it's the Computer Corner at CES 2010 in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be back right after this short break. Stick around.
Hey there, thanks for joining us. It's the Computer Corner from Las Vegas. Why? Why not? It's the Consumer Electronics Show, that's why.
Because they let us out.
Knuckleheads. By the way, all of you that I posted a picture up on our Facebook page. We were at a restaurant last night, and the menu out on the screen said Kobe hot dogs.
Wasn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, well, the problem is our Facebook fans are going, oh, shouldn't there be LeBron hot dogs? And how come Kobe gets a hot dog? And no, it's the beef. Kobe beef, not Kobe the basketball player.
So, where's the Amari dog, man?
Yeah.
Okay. Slight misconception.
So all you knuckleheads that were posting that, go repost so that you...
Maybe they were joking.
I hope so. All right, so we told you a little bit about 3D. We told you about some of the technology that was pretty ridiculous, like a 152-inch plasma screen that you're probably never going to see in your lifetime or probably can't afford or who knows whether it'll ever come out. I suppose if you're a rapper, you could get one, right? Lots of gadgets and goodies. Part of what we try to do when we come to the Consumer Electronics Show is, yeah, we'll tell you about the futuristic stuff, the stuff that basically, you know, you may or may not be able to ever acquire. But I'm really more interested in the stuff that's actually got practical applications that you might actually see and be able to use.
And the stuff that's not just a concept, not vaporware, something that actually is out or coming out, you know, in the next couple months, something reasonable,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a working deal. So joining us now is Tom Smith from Taser International. And everybody knows as soon as I say Taser, they know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Tom, don't shoot,
that's
right.
Man. Yeah, that's right. Don't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me, bro. You had to love that. That had to be great. PR.
Number one quote of the year.
I'm sure. And so we saw a product that you guys are working on that will be available for parents that if I were to look back in the last 5 years, the most common question I've had from parents is, how do I know what my kids are doing with their cell phones? How do I protect my child with these mobile devices?
Yeah.
How do I keep them from texting strangers? You guys obviously ran into this enough that you did something about it.
They created a shocking product, huh?
You know what?
Truly shocking.
It wasn't shocking. It was amazing. It's the Protector series that you've come up with. Tell us a little bit about the impetus and what the whole point is, and explain why Taser is now in the protecting your children mode.
Well, I'll give you kind of the 30-second, 16-year history. When we started the company, our mission was to protect life, and we started with the electronic control devices, clearly have established ourselves there. Back in 2006, we looked at putting camera systems into this system to make people accountable. 18 months ago, we started in law enforcement with our evidence.com platform, so we took that technology, and my brother's already lived it. I'm about to with two young children. Mm-hmm. How do we deal with giving our kids access to this virtual world where in the old days we'd have to go knock on somebody's door and get a permission to play with the kids? Today, once they're out in that virtual world, the parents have no idea what that child's doing. And we wanted to take a technology approach to old world parenting.
And more importantly, the children have no idea what they're doing, especially at the younger ages.
Right.
And I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm hearing parents all the time that, you know, my 8-year-old wants a cell phone, like, you know, and I'm afraid, and you know, they want it because they live this stuff, right?
Yep,
and
absolutely.
The reality is they're going to live this for the rest of their lives. And it's this period of time the parents have to step in. So tell us how this works.
What it is it's the Protector series of – it's a service. And we're going to bring parents in to interact with their children and control who they're talking to, the kinds of messages they're sending, the kind of multimedia that they're sending. And, for example, my child's about ready to get his first phone. I want to be very restrictive about who he's talking to. And if it's somebody that I don't know through our service, it's going to come and it's going to alert me through either a phone or the new widget TVs or even on an app on a desktop and give me a dashboard that's going to say, here's somebody trying to contact my child. Do you know who that is? And obviously for family members or once somebody's approved, it's never going to bother me. But I'm worried about those unknowns, as you mentioned. How do we prevent that from getting to the child and protect them so that I'm aware of who that is? And then if they are on somebody that's even on the approved list. If they send something inappropriate, even after they've been approved, the server's still looking at that to alert me that, hey, I know your 11-year-old's already got this buddy, but all of a sudden he's taken an inappropriate image to send it to my child so that I can see it before it ever gets there.
The parents fear they hear this sexting, right? Well, what is that? You've addressed this.
Correct.
For those of you that are kind of still kind of grasping this thing, if you think of parental filters on a computer, right, you get to choose what you're going to block, what you're going to allow through. You know, you got the categories, whether it's firearms, alcohol, that kind of thing, right? You're basically allowing parents to decide what when it comes to text messaging, MMS with the video pictures, absolutely, all that stuff, right? Phone calls, all of it. How much of this is going to be allowed with my child? And it's not like a one-size-fits-all, right? It's
correct,
completely flexible.
So and it grows as your child grows. So as they gain trust, it's not spyware. It's a collaboration with your child that as they get older, okay, I don't need to see everything. But we'll still have the filtering that as they're getting into their teen years that, you know, you can talk about your daily activities all day long, but if all of a sudden, you know, sex or drugs or something illegal or cheating or bullying comes up, I as a parent want to know that, or if somebody's trying to bring that to my child, I want to know that and stop it before it ever happens, because most parents have no idea that it's even occurring.
Well, that's the other thing, bullying, right? I mean, right, cyberbullying is becoming such a problem, and most parents are powerless because the text messages got erased or they don't know who it is or that kind of thing.
Right.
This would also have a ongoing log, would it not?
It absolutely will. It'll have a whole history so that, you know, every day 1,300 children even go missing, the ability for your for the parent to be able to, boom, emergency release, not only phone records, but last known GPS,
right,
images, texting, all of this to authorities so that they can react quickly. Hopefully we can find out, was it, you know, a boyfriend trying to convince somebody to run away, or is this truly a child that's now gone missing, so that we can jump on this very, very quickly.
Now, quick question for you. Where is that stored? Is that stored on the PC, on the Internet? Parents can access it that way?
No, it's a server that sits between the carrier and the phone that we control. So that the parent, really, all they have to do is push one button, and we take care of that records release in our collaboration with evidence.com for law enforcement to get those records to the authorities so they can react on this quickly.
Okay.
How are we doing on time there, Brando?
We're in great shape. We're good. 5 minutes or so.
Okay. So now, we've got the phone, right? Now the big deal is texting in the car, that's illegal.
Right.
In a lot of states.
That's right.
Many states, yeah.
You're addressing that as well.
Absolutely. So the first one, we were talking about Mobile Protector as this protector platform. As that child grows and you grow trust, now you have another bump in the road, first-time driver. Last thing you want to do is have them sitting there, you know, trying to text their buddies and talk to their friends. So we install a device in the vehicle now that will tie the child's phone to that vehicle, that when they start the ignition and it's a first-time 16-and-a-half-year-old kid, we're going to completely disable that phone other than emergency functions, so they're not trying to talk to friends or text. And again, it will grow with the child that as they get older, maybe we'll turn on hands-free dialing. But this distracted driving is becoming a huge, huge issue. We've talked to here at CES a number of people that have come by that know somebody that had lost someone because of somebody texting while driving. Rick had a conversation with a guy yesterday, my brother, that a 17-year-old was texting while driving and killed some in a car accident some friends. So it's become a huge issue that, again, we're addressing mobile as well as driving, distracted driving. So as the child grows, we work with you to help the parents.
And they're saying, well, it's 26 times more likely or worse than a drunk driver or something as far as the distraction. It's some ridiculous statistic.
Which is why states are now moving to ban it altogether.
Yeah.
But we're also going to help, and we're going to be talking to a number of insurance companies that we can step in and do this and ensure not only it's illegal because somebody's going to try and sneak to do it, right? We were all kids once.
Hold the phone down low, right?
Absolutely.
I can do it down here.
Right?
What if I bend over and get under the dash? Yeah, that's a great idea.
So we'll actually prevent that. And then we have even parenting tools. You know, you go out to dinner now and you see the kids trying to text during dinner we can say for the next hour we're having family time and it's going to disable the phone, or why they're in school when they're supposed to be in that classroom, we're going to disable the phone and let it work during your breaks.
So everybody that's going to love that one.
Absolutely.
Everybody that's hearing this is going, man, this is just, look, overbearing, and it's like, this is way beyond 1984, it's beyond Big Brother. What's your general discussion when you hear those people concerned about privacy?
Well, parenting is part of invasion of privacy. I mean, that's our job as a parent, is to help guide our children and work with them so that, again, we can expand those restrictions. And then all of a sudden, if they screw up and get grounded, we can take it right back down and let them know, hey, we're going to parent here. And there's a lot of people in jail and other places that probably should have had some intervention there. So we're giving you the ability. It's really up to the parent to control how much they want to do and how big do they want to let this go. But it's something that every parent that we're talking to right now has looked for bits and pieces, and we're the ones that are putting the whole package together from the first phone all the way through driving.
Hopefully this got people interested. Yes. Where can they learn more about Protector?
They can go to the website, which is protector.com.
Well, that's easy.
Or go to taser.com, and they can get to protector.com as well.
And that kind of gives you the overview. There's about 80 other things that we didn't even cover that this thing does. It was amazing.
See, I might need this thing for myself because I don't know that I have the discipline to not. When I get that little text message while I'm driving, if I don't respond to it, now I'm thinking about it, and that's already distracting.
Right.
I think I need it for myself. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Shut myself down. Yeah. I need to parent myself.
Yeah, we have even employers looking at this from fleet control.
Yeah.
You're putting people out on the roads.
I think I need to introduce you to our friends over at Ford, too.
Yep.
Have them make that part of that sync system, huh? That'd
right.
That'd be awesome.
It's like Tom's going, come on. You think we're already not having these conversations?
Come on, man.
Well, we're not yet, but we will.
Oh, we'll see if we can help you. Tom, thank you so much.
Thanks for having
Appreciate
me on,
I think
Tom.
The parents out there that are, I don't care if my kids don't like their privacy. It's a great product. Really interesting. Now, when can people start looking at possibly integrating this into their
system? Our plan is to release it this summer, if not earlier. We think we'll beat the date, but it's definitely this summer.
So just keep watching protector.com.
Absolutely.
In 2010 for sure. This is not vaporware.
No doubt about it. We were demoing, I think, the application to you yesterday. It's functional.
Yeah.
We're just trying to tighten it down and get some of the bugs out before we go to market.
And we took a lot of video, and we'll share that with all of you out there as well. So, Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There you have it from Taser. You know what? This was something that was like, okay, 100-inch plasma screens, great. How many people actually either want or can actually afford that?
This is up-and-coming technology that's practical.
My 7-year-old son, who's already asking for that cell phone, this right here is for him and for me.
Right. Yeah, so gives you peace of mind.
Yeah, the only issue is that you're probably going to have a teenagers revolting. The security system at Taser headquarters, I think, is already in place.
Yeah, they got to remember we make the electronic control weapons.
Yes, you do.
That's right. We didn't have a demo of those, thankfully, today. So
not today.
Yeah, we don't need that.
I thought we were going to do that in the studio today. No. Yeah,
you know what? You want to get shocked? You go
right
ahead.
Guinea pig, right? No.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, maybe we'll jump in a call.
Yes.
See if there's anybody out there interested in what's going on here at CES. We've got our eyes and ears and your eyes and ears. That's us here live in Las Vegas. It's CES. We're broadcasting live. It's the Data Doctors. We'll be back right after this. Stick around.
Hey, looking for tips on how to shoot better video with your cell phone?
You mean more gooder video?
More gooder video. How about my grammatical error on the newsletter? If your computer hurts, or if computing hurts, you're doing it wrong. There's a great resource from UCLA that talks about all the things you can do to help relieve some of that nonsense. And of course, if you've got a smartphone, are you aware of all the safety issues that come into play when you're using a smartphone? Well, if you're a subscriber to the newsletter, which we just sent out this morning because I failed.
So
Ken failed.
The Ken fail and the grammatical fail, you know what, we're going to give you a little mulligan on that.
Give
because
you a pass.
We've taken what is probably 2 weeks worth of media activity and compressed it into 2 days. And, well, it's a little rough around the edges.
Boy, are my arms tired.
If yours are tired, imagine Clay's shoulders.
Yes.
Oh, yes, my lord.
Yes. So, the Pico projector.
Those of you
that have seen the television commercial, I believe it's an LG commercial that shows somebody with a cell phone that has a little thing on the back that can project whatever is on the cell phone onto any flat surface.
And you're thinking, so I don't really care about doing presentations all that much.
Like, how goofy is that? Here's a reason why you might want to consider it. How many times are you at the office? Oh, look at the baby, or you got 4 or 5 people around. And only 1 or 2 people can see it, and you're all mashed around there, and you got to go back
around.
And forth. And
back. The 2x2 screen.
You project this on the wall. Everybody around you can see it. It's much bigger, right? It is unbelievable. We went over to the LG booth and got a demo. We got lots of video on it. We'll be posting up. This little tiny device, I mean, it really does not take up much space on the back of the phone.
No. It's like when remember when they used to have those extended life batteries that you would clip onto the back of a phone? It's about like that, where it's about double the thickness, maybe a little, you know, somewhere in that vicinity. It's amazing, but you know, there's lots of places. Think about it. You're on an airplane and you're trying to watch. You don't have to bring your laptop. You can watch through your iPhone. Well, your iPhone screen is, it's okay, but if the guy in the seat next to you, your brother, your son, whatever, is trying to watch, project it on the tray table right in front of you, and all three of you can watch. No problem at all.
Well, but even worse, think about trying to watch an iPhone on an airplane. You got to hold the thing, right?
Right.
This thing, you can just lay it flat and let it project up onto the back of the seat or what have you.
Virtually any service.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
if you're a business traveler and you're doing a presentation, or not to mention the whiz bang, cool, right? Now, the manufacturer of the projector actually has a standalone. We went and shot some video with Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
Which we'll be posting up as well. It's a separate component that will work with basically any of the major smartphones.
And what was amazing about that is just the quality of the video and how you can back up and move forward, and it's any surface.
Pretty amazing. Now, those of you that have kind of thought about ebooks, one of the problems I think is it's kind of antiseptic and kind of, it doesn't really look like a computer screen. It's kind of these text.
Yeah.
Asus has a prototype of a electronic book that literally is like an electronic book. It has two sides to it. Full color, full touch screen. Again, it's a prototype, but those of you that don't like the current form factor of e-readers, which seems to be all over, that's one of the big themes here, lots of people with e-readers, maybe Asus has got the solution you're looking for. Again, it's a prototype. I think we already posted a picture on the Facebook page, but we're going to get some more information on that later after the show. But if you're kind of on the sidelines on e-books, on these e-book readers, this may be the device down the road. I'm not sure when it's going to come out. We'll get all that information, but check that stuff out. Anything that you saw that was, I know you were loving all that Sony stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have a lot of different products out there right now. I have to say, though, as far as the projector is concerned, whether it be for the phone, the LG phone, or, you know, this other product we just spoke about, you know, the quality does match what you see on the commercials. I mean, I really think this is going to catch on later on down the road, when the price point comes down anyway.
All right. When we come back, and I don't know, where were we at on the breaks? Yeah, a couple of minutes. But when we do come back, we've got all of you that are griping about ink in those inkjets that you're buying.
Yes, my inkjets, they cost more than the printer, and they run out so fast, and they're always getting clogged. And
there's a manufacturer that actually listened to all of the consumers saying this is an outrage and this is crazy. Yeah.
They listened?
Yeah, make their way over here to the booth.
Now, will they do something about it?
I believe they have.
Huh.
And when we come back, we're going to tell you what the folks at Lexmark have done to make your ink woes a little lighter, if you will.
Yep. If you want to help provide some direction in the show, something you want to know more about that we've touched on or we've covered on our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/datadoctors, give us a call now, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, those calls and more from Las Vegas at CES 2010 Live. It's the Data Doctors. We'll be back right after this news break.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Data Doctors Computer Corner extravaganza from the floor of the Consumer Electronics Show. We are trying our best to remember the high points, the low points. We've got notes everywhere. We've got pictures everywhere. We've got video everywhere.
If only our minds would work
yeah.
and function properly.
But in keeping with the tradition of the show, before we go on, we've got to do our Geek Speak of the Week. Where's that music?
No, we don't have music. We can hum. Clay, sing a song.
No, no, no.
No. This week's Geek Speak of the Week is TiVo Dough.
That's like the what? Homer Simpson dough there?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the act of inadvertently watching a commercial as part of a recording that you made, right? You
right.
specifically recorded it to time shift.
But you're sort of in the zone, and you're watching, and you're not paying attention, and you're halfway through commercials, and you go, wait a minute. Dope. I can fast forward, duh.
You smack your head, you're going, that's what I got this for.
Yeah, sometimes you sort of zone out and forget.
So if you're hanging out with buddies, right, and yeah. they recorded something on TiVo or a DVR.
Right, because not everybody has a TiVo, even right. though we all call them that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
you know
Kleenex.
What? I'll just TiVo it, even though yeah, you don't yeah, have a TiVo.
It's
right.
become yeah, it's become kind of the
like
Kleenex.
Like Googling it, right?
Googling, exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go.
TiVo,
dope. Dope. All right, so before we talk about Lexmark and their printer issue, or the interesting thing that they've done.
The thing they've solved, right?
They solved. We'll wait for them to get here to talk about that. Let's talk about what we saw in technology that's going to be integrated into the automobile.
The automobile. You know,
we
there
saw
was
quite a bit of that yesterday.
The section that is the auto section is always interesting because if you're looking for the booth babes, that's generally where you'll find them. So there's that. It's one of the larger sections here. So everything's broken out, and I think I heard somewhere I heard 25 football fields worth. I also heard 35 football fields worth. Whatever it is,
who's counting?
It's way too much to see. But the car audio and security, and this takes up like an entire hall and then change. It spills over. And there's a lot going on. And we saw things from Ford and their sync system. We saw some new evolution kind of stuff from the folks at Chevy with
yep.
the OnStar, specifically with the Volt, the electric car. We actually got to see the electric car up close and personal. We were like a foot and a half away from it. We couldn't drive it, of course.
I don't even think there was an engine in there.
Yeah, probably not.
You never know.
But, yeah, it looked good, though.
But there was cool stuff there. There's some interesting things that take what was traditionally your car security, your alarm, and extends that to applications for your iPhone or your BlackBerry.
Oh, the Viper. That has, a practical application, at least in my life.
Yeah.
I have a remote starter
alarm
system, right?
Key fob.
But I got that stupid key fob. And you guys, right. for the last couple of weeks, you've been, what's that noise? Is my key fob going nuts?
You think Ken's playing like Super Nintendo because this thing goes off and it plays the lamest little tune. And it's like, what is this little Mickey Mouse device you got here?
Something going on. Not to mention, that's this big lump square in my pocket, which I'd love to get rid of.
Right.
I already carry an iPhone.
You do.
I was like, wouldn't it be great if I could control, start the car, turn on and turn off the alarm from my smartphone, from my iPhone.
Right, rather than this little key fob.
I'd love to be able to do that.
Well, the folks at Viper, that's what they've done. And what's really cool about it, if you think about it, these remote starters you have, the key fobs, you have to be within half a mile, 300 feet.
Like eyesight, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Whatever. I mean, you got to be fairly close by. This uses a cellular technology.
Now, the demo they have here, they've got a picture, a camera that's mounted in San Diego. And it's watching this van that's at their, you know, sort of, it looks like probably the backyard of one of the guys that works at the place. But whatever, it's a van. It's sitting in San Diego, and it's watching it. And they're here at the show, and they press the button to remote start. And you see the lights flash, 10, 12 seconds later in San Diego on that picture beaming back to us. And, I mean, the thought that he's starting the car in San Diego. Now, that's not practical,
yeah.
really, right, to start a car in San Diego when you're in Las Vegas. But what is practical is when you're in the building and you want to start it because it's 128 degrees out in a Phoenix hot day. And you know what? Now you don't have to go out to the parking lot.
When the credits are rolling in the movie, right? You're in this nice, cool movie theater. Go ahead and start your car.
Or other cool things. Like you're going to be gone on vacation for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and your security system is just your security system. If the alarm goes off, how many of us pay attention to that alarm going off? Nobody, right?
Pretty much.
Well, if you're on vacation halfway around the world or around the country or around the block and that alarm's going off, maybe you'd like to be notified, especially if that car, if it moves at all in that two-week period, there's a big problem. And so it's not just about somebody broke into the car, the alarm's going off, the car's moving.
And how much longer before we're going to have webcams that activate inside the car, right? So whoever is stealing it, you're seeing the video on your iPhone real time.
I mean, I've seen that show, Bait Car. Yeah. We're going to have that. We're going to have that for our
own. You know
cars.
It's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming. Absolutely, it's coming. The Chevy Volt.
Yeah.
They had an iPhone app, right? Basically, if you think about this, wouldn't you like to know, hey, I'm getting low on the battery on the car?
Right.
Wouldn't you like to get an alert saying, hey, maybe you ought to get some juice?
And this thing plugs into a special kind of adapter that plugs into your house. Now, a lot of us are on rate plans at home where your electricity is higher costed on peak times versus off peak times. And so with this app, it can manage the on and off peak times. So you plug it in when you get home in the garage, you go and you go to sleep, and the app helps coordinate and kicks on the thing when your electricity purchase is a lot less, so that it's charging during those times when, you know, if it's going to be sitting in the garage all night, well, what do you care if it doesn't start charging for a few hours? And so the app allows you to interact with some of the cool systems to help take advantage of, you know, if you're going to go green, let's get serious about this.
Exactly.
Right?
So, I mean, you don't want to be charging during your peak use, you know.
Well, and how many of us take the time to do the math, to do the miles per gallon and all the statistical information that tells you what's going on? Now, you got a lot of the newer cars where they try to estimate that kind of thing. But this app also will tell you, what are you averaging?
Yeah.
You know, and so over time, you get these really accurate statistics because it's all kind of compiling and crunching it and keeping it on this little app. So the bottom line here is that you're going to see there's an app for that.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to go sit out in the car and figure out how you've been doing, but you are going to be sitting on the throne or on the couch and going, you know, let me check into that right now because it's in the palm of your hand.
Or you're going to get an alert from the car, hey, there's a problem that needs to be taken care of, as opposed to wait for a crazy sound or a crazy vibration or something.
Does that also send out alerts like you need wouldn't be an oil change?
No, that's a hybrid, so yeah, it would be an oil change, sure.
Okay, so
scheduled maintenance,
stuff
absolutely.
Like that, tire rotation.
And the reason we're talking about this is going to be a very common interface for any car in the coming years. Maybe even by the end of the year, you're going to start to see more and more of this, probably with the electric cars and the hybrids. But it's such an easy thing to do now because we're all carrying smartphones, or a large majority of people are carrying smartphones, that are nothing more than very powerful computers in the palm of your hand. Therefore, all of this kind of interaction, not just with your car, with your home automation. We heard Taser earlier on controlling all the phones in your family and knowing what's going on. And I love the family feature where you can hit a button and it disables all the phones from all the kids, your wife, everybody for 30 minutes, 60 minutes.
Oh, and when they try to make a call, since they've been ignoring your call, right? They can't make any other call until they call you first.
There you go.
Oh, it's awesome. It's amazing technology. And it's because the mobile revolution, obviously we're well into it. The fact that these handheld devices are so amazingly powerful, you're going to see a lot more of this integration with everything in your house.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about something that's sort of near and dear to my heart. If you're like me, you have a house, you want to figure out how to get that sound you have in your living room to all the other rooms in the house. Your house wasn't pre-wired for it. You don't want to have to go cutting holes in walls and fishing wires and things. There's some cool technology that you know, for a few years, it's been there, but now it's really here. And we're going to talk about that.
And it's affordable.
That's
the bottom line. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that and more. We're broadcasting live from CES 2010 here in Las Vegas. We'll be back right after this short break.
The Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas for the year that is 2010 or 2010, whichever you prefer. We still haven't figured it out.
010.
010. Ought 10. Lots and lots of great stuff. Again, facebook.com/datadoctors. We're posting up video and pictures and all kinds of stuff.
All that stuff should be up here within about the next hour.
Oh, no. This is going to be going on for a week, maybe two.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about the stuff we've looked at in the last 24 hours or so.
Before we went to break, you were talking about, you know, Sonos has been out for years with a very expensive, very elegant way to extend music anywhere in the house.
Right. So you could take your music on your computer and extend it, or the music playing through your home theater system or whatever. But it was expensive devices. They were very simple to configure. They looked cool. But really, it was the price tag that got you really kind of your home theater system or whatever. But it was expensive devices. They were very simple to configure. They looked cool. But really, it was the price tag that got you really kind of dissuaded from going down that path. These things, just to get started, you'd spend over $1,000 pretty quickly.
Easily.
And while it's cool stuff, it's out of reach for a lot of folks.
And in fairness, they have come out with less expensive, nowhere near as elegant of a system.
Yeah.
The Sonos does have less expensive, but one of the nominees for the one of the CES
the
awards,
cool award yeah, kind of things.
One of the honorees,
innovation awards,
innovation
they call
award,
it.
Right, is EOS Converge, and it's a fairly inexpensive process for extending that audio throughout the house. One of the devices I thought was really cool is something that literally plugs into the wall, and this unit just hangs off that outlet, has a volume control, an antenna, speakers, the amp, the whole thing. And just by plugging it in, it taps into the spectrum, the wireless spectrum that the system's using, and there you go. You're starting to play the music.
Yeah, different devices for different things. So they have transmitters that plug into your already existing tuner, amplifier, whatever you want to call it, that's out in your living room. They have a device that plugs into your computer, and then they have devices that are either powered to plug into speakers you already have, or that are the speakers and everything that you just plug in. And this stuff is pretty plug and play. It's wireless other than having to connect power to it. And so getting your music from all your different places, whether it's your computer, your home theater system, in the kids' playroom, whatever it is, getting that music from there to anywhere, including outside, becomes very, very easy.
The key here is, again, this is not like it's a new technology. The key is it's very easy to use and get set up, and it's very inexpensive compared to what's been out there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it does not do what the Sonos does, which is every single device in the house can be playing a different source of music or video or audio. I'm sorry. This is basically one source. Everybody's tapping into that at the same time. But it's a very inexpensive way for somebody that did not pre-wire their home, which is the majority of you, to get that audio, you know, up in the bedroom, the bathroom, whatever you want to do. So,
or that's, God forbid, you did it my way and chopped up your floors and your floorboards and try to run all the wires underneath.
There you go.
Not fun.
Not fun at all.
There was somebody else. I don't remember the name of the company. They had something interesting. They had these what would be sort of, what do they call those lamps that the light faces up towards the ceiling?
Torch.
So they have these lamps, and integrated into these lamps are speakers. And so they're places you can put speakers in places where it doesn't look like you have speakers. That was kind of cool. They also have a new, looks like it's coming out very, very soon, a Hunter ceiling fan. So it's a good quality ceiling fan. But in the center of it, in the center of the light fixture, there's a speaker. And so if you really are interested in getting speakers in more places, but you don't like the way they look, they have some cool products that let you put sound places where you don't see any speakers.
Think about the biggest challenge a lot of people have in a seating area is, where am I going to put my rear channel speakers for my surround sound?
Right.
Right? So if you have a couple of these lamps back there, which are functional, they're providing you light, they can also be your rear channel speakers, right?
Yeah.
And nobody knows where they're coming from. The center channel could actually be the speaker in your ceiling fan if it's positioned properly in the room. So it's really some interesting applications on that. How about the gesture-based, what the Wii started, right, with the hand, the nunchucks and waving that thing around?
Right. It's sensing motion, basically, right?
Sensing motion, but you had to have that device in your hand.
Right.
We've heard about Project Natal from Microsoft and some of these others that are working on. We saw a pretty elegant demonstration of a prototype from...
It was Toshiba.
Toshiba, right, with the gesture controls.
They called it Cell TV, and Cell is kind of misleading because it has nothing to do with your cell phone.
Right. But it has gesture interface. It had 3D. It had high definition. It's like all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world. Well, the cool part was she put her hand out like you know...
Stop!
Talk to the hand kind of thing.
And
whatever was happening, boom, stopped.
So get rid of the remote control. Your hand is the remote control. Something's watching your hand, and, you know, I don't know about you, but when your remote batteries go dead, that's a big pain.
Recharging,
batteries don't go dead in your hand,
just,
huh?
You wave your hand and go to the next show.
Could be a problem for my Italian friends, though. All right. When we come back, we're going to invite some of our buddies over at CNN.com to come in and talk about what they saw, because they've been covering this longer than we have, actually. They got here a day before we did.
They did.
And they got more people than we do.
A full 30 minutes of Computer Corner when we come back. Stick around.
And welcome back to the Consumer Electronics Show edition of the Computer Corner. Joining us now are a couple of my virtual friends.
Well, they're not virtual today.
They're not today. All of you people that think that social media is all about, you're antisocial and you never interface with people anymore, it's just the opposite. Because I'd have never met John and Valerie.
You're so antisocial, though.
I am, man?
Yeah, you really kind of put people off, I think.
Tweet. We met through Twitter.
We did.
Firstly, right? And you folks are hard at work every day at CNN.com trying to help the world understand what's going on in the world of tech. And welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks.
And you guys got here Wednesday, right?
Tuesday.
Oh, my word.
You guys are true professionals because we came stumbling in on Thursday thinking, gosh, we're early.
No. Apparently not. No, we were just, you know, we had other things to attend to this week. And you're leaving, what, tomorrow or today?
Yeah, we're leaving tomorrow. So, yeah, there are lots of pre-press events. This, you know, goes on for a long time.
Yes, it does. And we usually bypass those.
That's what's called a commitment to excellence. And we have a commitment to mediocrity.
But here's the difference. They're professionals.
True that.
We are rank amateurs.
All right.
And because you're professionals and because you've been here for so long, I'm sure you've seen lots of things we haven't seen. John, what is it that you saw that you thought was actually going to have an impact on the people that follow you on Twitter?
Actually have an impact. Well, the Boxy Box just won an award at the Gadget Showdown. I don't know if you heard about that. So I think the whole connected TV trend is going to really have an impact on people, their ability to socialize and communicate, you know, through their TV. Skype came to TVs from Panasonic and LG, I believe.
Right, you can like trash talk your friends while you're watching the game.
Yeah, right
remotely,
on the couch.
Right?
So I'm watching TV and I'm watching it with my best friend. It's just he's not in the same room with me. He's halfway across the world, across the country, across the block, whatever it is.
Right.
And we can talk about it. We can type about it. We can chat about it, and we can watch it all at once on the same device.
Webcams, right?
But I'm thinking about, you know, my little brothers who are using the 360 Xbox, who've been doing this forever.
Right. They're laughing at us old people.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been playing with their friends in the UK, you know, so I think we're finally catching up.
Well, I think what it is this stuff's been available for people that are willing to go through all the steps and can figure out how to configure this. I think the real key is getting this to where, like, the average person can, like, plug it in, turn it on, hit a remote, do something, you know, so that it's not this big complicated thing, right? I mean, it's probably one of the reasons why the Microsoft Media Center, the home media platform, never really kind of exploded.
It's still a little too much for the average Joe to get set up. Now, once it's working, good stuff. But if it's as easy as plug it in and it works, hey, we got a shot.
I can't watch my soaps. I got a blue screen. I mean, come on. How about you, Valerie? Did you see anything that was really compelling in your mind? I know it's, like, overwhelming, right?
Yeah, you know, I really like a lot of the conceptual ideas. So far, I don't know these are going to actually be marketable.
Right.
But the Samsung's see-through laptop was kind of cool. Functionality-wise, not so sure about that, but it looked cool, and a lot of people were playing with that. There's the AR drone. Did you see the flying drone thing? That was kind of neat.
Yeah, that booth got a lot of attention. I'm looking at it going, it looks really cool, but what are we going to do with that?
Yeah.
My kids would love it.
What you do is you put a webcam on,
right?
And that just becomes another surveillance system, right?
We're so like the military now. Yeah. We're in Las Vegas at Nellis Air Force Base. I'm watching now.
No, it's all that noise at the neighbor's house. Let's go find out what they're doing.
Whoa. That might be a little more than you bargained for when you fly that thing over.
Well, I was talking about outside.
Oh, outside.
Backyard party kind
of
thing.
Like, all right.
Is it a good party, a bad party?
Yeah.
How about the gesture technology? Do you guys get a chance to see some of that stuff?
Yeah, and we heard a lot about it from Microsoft in the keynote. I thought that was one of the more interesting announcements that they made, that Project Natal is going to be out you know, by the holiday season.
Yeah, we keep seeing these videos, and you keep wondering, is this
right,
all...
Right, you want to see it and you know,
play with
it and
see how it works. It looks a little too good to be true, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly just been demonstrated by Microsoft, from my understanding. So when, you know, people actually start using it, that'll be a big thing. And I'm interested to see where that goes as far as computing, like, you know, whether you can sort of wave your hand in front of your laptop to control where your mouse is going and sort of put your fingers together to click. Like, these are all things that the big computer makers are working on. You know, so in the next several years, it'll be cool to see where that goes.
The producers of Minority Report actually knew what was going on, didn't they?
Well,
are we headed to that?
Every step, we're getting closer and closer to the ultimate interface, which is mind control, right? That's where we need to get to. And so your hand gesture.
We do almost.
Do we have to get there?
Hey, when you can look at your computer and just think about what you want to have happen, that's pretty powerful stuff, right?
Yeah.
Not the other way around. Where it thinks for you. No.
No, but if you have an errant thought and it somehow shows up on your laptop.
Well, you've got to settle down your own mind. That's your problem, man.
Yeah, it's a whole different way of thinking about it for sure. I talked to a guy at MIT yesterday who's working on eye tracking with computers. So you would just look at something that you wanted to select.
Why are you looking at me that way?
I don't know.
What's that mean?
It's bizarre. But he was saying that like when people have tested this, they tend to like sort of glance all around the room and select all kinds of stuff on their computer without even realizing that's what they want to do. So,
how about this 3D everywhere? What's your take on this? Is this real? Is this a fad? Is it kind of goofy? What is it?
I think it's a fad, and I don't know how realistic it really is. Most of the analysts I spoke to thought, you know, is this really a great group viewing experience? You have to be positioned in a particular spot to experience it. I felt sort of dizzy.
Yeah, is it just me? Or I went to see Avatar in 3D, and I got about two-thirds of the way through the movie, and I said, you know what? I can't anymore. I had to leave. It made me like I got to take like Dramamine or something. I think I don't know.
Well, I can see it in like gaming and some of the other maybe non-television type of action. Considering that everything you know that used to be on your laptop, you're going to be able to do on these humongous screens, right? There's plenty of room on there. Here's my picture. Here's this going on. So I can see how maybe some of that, especially if you're doing interactive gaming, that kind of thing, or if the communication model gets to the point where you get a lot more 3D. So these video phone calls, right, it's a more realistic call with somebody on the other end. So, I mean, I can see how on occasion you might use this, but as far as all of us walking around with 3D glasses all the time.
Did you see some of the ones without glasses Samsung had?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, again, it's kind of there. It's kind of like fake surround sound, right? It's like fake 3D.
When I look at that, it makes me think like I drank too much coffee and my head's shaking a lot because it's sort of a little blurry, right, and... Yeah, it's just not working for me.
Well, the same thing. Fujitsu has their 3D digital camera. It's got two lenses on it. And so you take a picture, and then it has kind of a pseudo 3D look to it when you watch it on the display. And then they got the picture frame, and it's kind of there. You don't have to wear the glasses. But it's like, to me, again, I go back to fake surround sound. You hit a button that says, okay, you have surround sound now. You're going, oh, really?
It just sounds sort of echoey to me. Okay.
Not quite. How about the car technology? Did you see anything that you thought was really interesting that you're going to – I mean, next year when we're driving our car, we're going to be doing something different?
Well, I went to Ford's booth and heard about their technology to read Twitter to people who are driving while they're driving. So I thought that was sort of interesting, and they're supposed to come out in the next 12, 18 months with technology that will recognize your voice and you could actually sort of post to the web while you're driving. So I find that intriguing, but I also talk to safety experts who are, worried about, how distracting that could potentially be. So, I think that's one really interesting area. It seems like, electronics companies are trying to put screens in front of our faces in every place possible. So, if you look at it from the safety experts, point of view, there, is a limit to that.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe should be some off-limit spaces.
Somebody's got to really work this thing through. Just because it's cool and you can do it doesn't mean we should, right?
Well, I mean, we can't even text and drive in most states.
Well, but I mean, how distracting is a GPS? You know?
Right? I mean, it's a screen. So.
But at least you're not talking to it, right? Just ran into the red light. Ha ha, check that out. You know, I mean, what do you, we want to post to Twitter while we're driving?
Well,
really?
Just hit a pedestrian.
But the whole thought of Twitter in the beginning was, who cares what you're doing, right? So you can't really discount any of this stuff that you think is funky or, just think the 3D. It's like
it's all in progress.
3D came out in the 50s, right? Why is it that this year everyone is drinking the same Kool-Aid? There must be something going on. And I think it has to do with the fact that the processing power allows them to convert on the fly stuff that's not 3D into pseudo 3D, like face
pseudo 3D.
Pseudo, I'm assuming. You get that experience, but... I'm with you, Valerie. I'm not really sure, how many people are going to buy this and go, okay, well, that was fun for 10
anybody
minutes.
Here going to go buy a new TV because of this?
Well, I think a lot of people are still trying to catch up with the HD TV. So how feasible is this for the average consumer? And how much is it going to cost? And when is it going to be affordable?
And it's still the recession. And I think that, could be a problem for consumers, going out and buying it. But I think it's also maybe a reason that we're seeing new things tried, because you want to jump out and be the company that's doing the new thing, so that someone would be willing to spend money when they're probably hesitant to in general.
Like Panasonic's 152-inch plasma screen.
Yeah, that I got on order. I get the practical application
coming
of that.
Soon. Yeah, I want that in my car.
Well, it's going to go in the closet in my master bedroom, because it's perfectly suited to that space, right?
Yeah,
you're right.
Right. Anything else that you saw that was that you thought was?
Did you see the Intel's Infoscape?
No, I didn't.
That was pretty cool. It was this huge data visualizer with the 500 real-time feeds from the web. And
you can touch the thing, and it pops up and does. It doesn't really translate to the radio, but seeing it is obviously
very cool. Well,
you
can see it on CNN.com later today because we are publishing a video there. So
they're faster than we are.
Yes.
We got it with our iPhones.
that's almost the same, right?
That's CNN broadcast quality, right?
You guys use iPhones to broadcast everything. Yeah, I'm sure.
No, I don't think so. How are we doing on time?
We're ready for a break anytime you want.
All right, let's take a break. You got a few minutes to stick with us?
Sure.
We got to get going. Yeah, I know you guys they're professionals.
They got more things to do than they're letting on, but they're going to stick around. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we're going to talk to the folks at CNN.com. It's John and Valerie, and you're listening to the Data Doctors in the Computer Corner. We'll be back right after this.
DataDoctors.com/radio is the website that you can connect to. We've linked to the CNN tech page, so you can see the fine work of John Sutter and Valerie Streit at CNN.com/tech. That's CNN.com, right? You guys are doing video, you're doing blogs, you're like multitasking, right?
Tweeting, we're all over the place.
You're all over the place. Oh, yeah. And, of course, you can hear that they know what they're talking about, so start following them on Twitter. What's your Twitter account?
At CNN Tech.
Okay. And you guys
well,
both
we
that?
Both tweet on that. I'm at JD Sutter.
At Val Strite.
Okay. So we'll post links up there, up on our page as well. But the Pico projector we were talking about off the air, we talked about it earlier. This Sixth Sense video that was on TED, this MIT student that took all this off-the-shelf product and created this walking computer, and part of it was the ability to project things onto, like, it does facial recognition, it figures out, hey, you're John Sutter, and it flashes that on your shirt and what have you. So that projector technology, we saw that over at LG's booth. I'm wondering where else this is going to start popping up, because this thing is literally half the size of a pack of cigarettes.
And you can project it on things that aren't traditional sort of surfaces. We just, as part of what we were shooting yesterday, I had a white shirt on, and I held it out kind of flat and projected right onto my shirt, and it would look like I had a nice screen printed shirt that, you know, so I could be a walking billboard literally with some kind of mount that would project this thing back onto myself. And, you know, think about a place like this, you're walking around with something like that, you're gonna get a lot of attention.
Anything amazing or anything really compelling in smartphones that you saw, or was it all kind of just trying to catch the iPhone?
I haven't seen a whole lot in the smartphone category here, to be honest. I think the Nexus One announcement on Tuesday, I think it was.
Gosh, I wonder why Google did that.
Right. Has sort of stolen a lot of the buzz in the smartphone category. I don't know. What about you? Have you seen anything?
I think it's everybody chasing after the iPhone from a experience standpoint, right? So the iPhone interface, the touch that is so powerful on that iPhone, I think beyond the smartphone category, we're starting to see that like television, all kinds of interfaces, right? So I think we'll probably start to see more of that. But as far as an actual smartphone that's going to, I don't know.
I mean, it's not just that there's an app for that, right? It's about the whole experience. And I think a lot of manufacturers are starting to figure out that all the whiz-bang and all the tech in the world doesn't get you there if the experience and the way you interact with it isn't perfect. And so you're starting to see, I think, a lot more time spent on how do people interact with this thing? Because who cares that it can take pictures? Who cares that it has a motion sensor? Who cares about an accelerometer if the way you interact with it's clumsy?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it comes down to.
And I think that's what we're seeing from these folks that are chasing after the iPhone, is they've got bits and pieces of it, but it's not quite, they're not pulling it off from the total experience standpoint. How about the wireless world in general? Did you see anything in a wireless device that you thought might have some, I mean, wireless HD, right? HD video that can go in through the wireless. I like those wireless HDMI connections as well. Did you see anything else?
Yeah, I think the, you know, the trend overall there that I find most interesting is the idea that all of our gadgets are going to be connected to each other, and that you know, you won't have the same problems with transferring data and having it stuck in one place when you might need it on another gadget, like on your phone or on your computer, or on your TV, wherever. So, in your car. So I think that's sort of one below the surface sort of trend that's sort of bubbling up in a lot of different ways. And also the cloud is part of that. You don't hear people like talk directly about the cloud a lot here at
CES. Yeah, it's kind of hard to show it, isn't it?
Right, exactly. But, you know, it's the idea that you store data like out there on the internet instead of on your own hard drive. And, yeah, I think that's sort of behind a lot of the gadgets that we're seeing.
Lots of support for the cloud. So cloud computing, we've been talking about it. You're going to see it. You're already living it. Half the people out there have no idea that they're kind of living in the cloud now, right, with their file sharing and their video uploads, that kind of thing. So, John, Valerie, thanks for coming by. CNN Tech is the Twitter account that folks can follow.
Yep.
Since you're hard at work here, we're out of town here later this afternoon. So we're going to leave you guys to continue your great job of reporting. CNN.com/tech if you want to see their work in all manners of media, right?
Right.
In print, in video, and now we gave you a voice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because they
so
didn't
much.
Have a voice without us.
It's all about content distribution.
That's right.
Across all many platforms.
And you guys obviously are multitasking very nicely. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Where are we at on this?
We're at the point where we're going to remind folks that if they missed any part of the show, of course, we've got resources posted on our site, datadoctors.com/radio. We're going to take the audio from this. We'll get that stuff edited up and get it up in the next couple of weeks. Of course, past shows, they can find them online at our site as well.
And all the best of and the CNN links and all the stuff we talked about, datadoctors.com/radio. You can see all of those links and continue, because I'm sure you guys are going to be working on content for what? Another week or two.
Yeah, there'll be new stuff coming up for a while.
Yeah, we'll have a few pieces out next week.
Yeah, I know we have a ton of video we've got to go through still too. So thanks again. Don't forget, while you're at our website, sign up for the newsletter so that you can keep up with everything that we're doing, what's going on. Facebook.com/datadoctors if you want to see what we've posted so far as we kind of walk around. When we can get a signal, AT&T.
Hint, hint. I think it's more than just AT&T, by the way. But
that's
hey.
True. That's true.
We're still here for a few more hours before we head to the airport, so we'll keep the Facebook updates and other updates coming as we progress our way through the final couple hours that we have here anyway in Las Vegas.
I want to thank Pete back in Phoenix for making this happen technologically.
And if our Ustream broadcast was hesitant and squirrely, hey, you know.
Well, next week we'll explain why it was. It was pretty mashed up bunch of electronics to be able to get that going there, so. Pardon the 1990s.
Pardon the 90s?
Yeah, pardon the 90s kind of approach to the webcam.
Yeah, it looks like we're on a dial-up connection, but yeah, whatever. Again, if you missed any part of the show, datadoctors.com/radio. And
we'll see y'all next week. We're coming home.